What's going on, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Boys at 161st Street. Thanks for joining us today, as always. Before we get this rolling, we would really appreciate it if you guys could take 2 seconds and leave a review on iTunes. It really helps us out. All right, that's enough begging. This is another episode of Roll Call, a mini-series where we individually talk about each player on the Yankees. 15 minutes starts now. Welcome back. This is the episode all about our man, Joe Random, DJ himself. What do we think about DJ? I mean, DJ was a steal. I don't know how we... I mean, did you guys expect that to happen when we acquired DJ from the Rockies?
Oh, of course.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, right.
I mean...
He didn't even start on opening day.
No, no, Troy Tulowitzki did.
Yeah. Who would have imagined that?
Broke bones Tulowitzki started over LeMahieu.
Could you imagine?
I remember the day we signed him, though. I remember we got DJ LeMahieu, and I knew he won a batting title, and I was excited about it. And I tried to get other people excited about it, and they're like, he's no Machado. And I was like, yeah, I know he's not, but, like, that's a pretty good signing for what we, like, paid him. I was really happy about it. And then I was just like, I don't know, like, he might not start for us because the whole Glaber at second.
And yeah, it just seemed like a misfit as far as positionally, like, where's he going to play?
Yeah.
And then everyone got injured and it just fell into place. But yeah. I remember they signed him 2 years, $24 million. The Rockies signed Daniel Murphy to 2 years, $24 million. Dollars. So they chose Daniel Murphy, who should be in the American League DHing, over LeMahieu, which made no sense. Like, that kind of worried me. I was like, well, if the Rockies don't want him, like, what's wrong with
him? Why are we getting him? Yeah. But he actually turned out to be one of the people who there's nothing wrong with him, and he didn't get injured. So that would be a concern, too. Like, is there a, like, underlying injury there that they just haven't re-signed him for, and he ended up playing nearly the whole season last year, like the only one. So, I mean, who are other names on that list? Who's the – there was one second baseman that I think the Mets picked up that we were also looking at, lefty, a switch hitter.
I don't know.
Regardless, I thought it just came back to me. But anyway, DJ ended up being everything we wanted in a free agent. And I don't want to be that guy to say I did predict it, but I was like Kev a little bit in that, like, you do notice that he did win a batting title. So this didn't come out of nowhere, you know?
Yeah, I was like, oh, is it a Coors Field effect? What's his home road splits? Like all that kind of stuff. But then you watch him play every day. Like after... I want to say like a month of watching him play every day, you realize like, oh, he's just a really good baseball player.
Yep.
And he's like not going to wow you with home runs. He's not going to like do anything where you're like, holy crap, that's a Twitter viral like highlight. But he's just good at everything.
Yeah. I remember listening to your podcast last year and was it Scott that predicted that he would get like 22 home runs and you called him crazy, right?
I thought he was crazy. I didn't know the balls were going to be juiced.
Yeah. You called him crazy. And I remember that stuck out to me.
He never hit 20 home runs in Coors Field. Why the fuck would he hit 20 home runs like all of a sudden?
Oh, he never hit more than 15. Yeah. He never hit more than 15. Okay, and I remember thinking about it. I was like, when he started going, it was like a little run and you guys would bring it up often. I was like, he's going to get this. He might smash this.
Yeah, I think
he actually got to it. He got 26.
He hit like 7 home runs in May or something like that. Yeah. So I was like, oh, he's definitely going to get it. But it was still close towards the end.
Yeah.
Then doesn't that mean I kind of win the argument? Because like he's not really a 20 home run hitter.
So that's what we were saying. The argument was 25% or 24% more. And if you look back to the year before, he had 15. So he literally had nearly exactly 24% more home runs. So what was the bet? It was 15 or over 20?
20. Over 20.
Okay, so I think you do win then.
That's no, like 100% you don't because he hit 26 home runs. But I do get your point.
It's
a good you were on track.
Good bet on Scott's behalf too because he looked deep into the analytics because he's a like
he can't spell analytics.
Yeah, I know he doesn't like all the nerds and stuff like that, but he does spray it to Apo Taco a lot, and that does bode well for Yankee Stadium. And honestly, watching it just with the eye test, you see how many he hits to opposite field all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, that one in Houston, that one was opposite field too. I mean,
that yeah, one. That's see, I was thinking about this. I forget what the conversation I was having is like, what are potentially the biggest home runs in baseball history that we'd look back and be like, wow, that's like a home run you're always going to watch and remember, but then are erased because of the game result. I was thinking LeMahieu's in game 6 of last year, Soriano's in 2001 of game 7, and also Rajai Davis in
in game 7.
Like if the Indians win that World Series, Rajai Davis has like a top five home run of all time in Major League Baseball history.
Yeah.
And now
could you imagine if the Yankees go to the World Series after DJ's? Right. That would have been unreal. So
it's just like erased from existence.
Yeah.
Just imagine the momentum shift, though. I mean, I thought there was the shift right there, and then Altuve knew what was coming. So if they didn't cheat, he is like the hero of New York. And honestly, putting together the highlights, I put like a highlight thing of all like my favorite memories of like recent years. It's still up there for me. I mean, I know obviously it would amplify it so much more if it meant more, like we moved on after that, but that was still one of the craziest moments ever. I've never felt my heart race more than that moment. Me and Kev were at a bar at our school, and I remember because right before that, I was as low as I could ever be. Like
We weren't talking. Nobody would talk to each other.
We were all just like, okay, we're mentally, slowly, inning by inning, we're giving up. Like the season is slowly being taken away from us. And I was literally, if we're going to put a percentage at it, the season was 1% left. Like I was like, my heart was going to be,
it literally was.
Strikes on him too, right? It was like blast out. But then he hits it. And I've never jumped higher in my life. And I told you the story of when I hit something and I hit the jukebox next to me and that thing just like went black. And I was like, okay. And
The bouncers legitimately thought that like there was a riot because like the whole place went nuts and people weren't even baseball fans. We were going crazy. Like, well, I'm a baseball fan, obviously, but like the people around me, like
other people,
they were like, I guess we scream now.
They're screaming, so I'm gonna scream.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
it was crazy.
But it lasted like 30 seconds.
I know.
I fell to the ground. The guy tried to kick me out. Because the bouncers there are dickheads, so I fell, like, once Altuve made contact, I just fell on the ground, and the bouncer came and goes, all right, bud, that's enough. You got to go. And I just wouldn't even speak to him. I didn't, like, defend myself. I just looked at the screen and just made a death stare. Oh, it was
before Altuve's home run landed, I had an edible in my mouth. And then Scott and I recorded a podcast at, like, 2 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that had to be, it was worse.
So I just – that's the amount – the emotion from – like I said, 1% of the season left to I don't care about anything. I am the man. I wasn't even a part of this. I am so happy right now. Anything could happen. I don't care. And then right after that, Altuve hits the home run, and then I'm back to worse than I was before that. And it's just,
yeah.
I've never felt worse. If I was ever – I'm a healthy 23-year-old boy. If I was ever going to have a heart attack, it was right there. So I'm still kicking.
The thing about DJ is that it was just always him. Like, he was always the one doing those things. I remember when we went to game 1 of the playoffs and he got that double down the line. Like, it was just – you just had that feeling when he got up in a situation that it was going to happen. And you got used to it. You got dependent on it. And he never let us down. And that's why I love him so much.
Do either of you have his ending batting average with runners in scoring position? It was over 400 for a while. It was over 400 for a while. But, like, I think it came down to under – 400, but it was still like over 370, which is amazing.
It's ridiculous. Yeah.
And
we ended regular batting average 327, which is.
But it was even higher, I think, for runners in scoring.
389. Wow. Yeah.
And I think it's like people will say like clutch doesn't count. And like I do like analytics, but I do also think clutch matters because I think it's a human element to the sport. And some people. Like their nuts shrivel up in a big moment. And like A-Rod, like all the talent in the world, but like he let the moments get to him. Derek Jeter had less talent than Alex Rodriguez, but he never let the moment get to him. So he performed. He performed in big situations. And I think LeMahieu has that like, oh, I'm just going to stay calm and do my thing.
Yeah, he never wavers. And that's the good thing about him. It's because I genuinely think it's because he just does not give a shit. Like he's just – literally is like, I'm here to play baseball. He's almost like a robot. It's like there's no other setting to him. It's
do you guys
just
remember
baseball hit.
There was a picture of them on one of their flights.
Yeah.
And
we were just talking about it. Yeah.
They were all in like the Hambino shirt. And then everyone's like, where's LeMahieu? And then like you see a guy in the back of the plane, the back of his head. He's probably like looking over game footage.
Yeah. He literally was just like, no time for silly picture game.
Yeah.
I focus on sport.
The dude is a robot. Like everybody else having fun. He's literally facing the other way. Just there's no off switch with him. He just like. He was going. I don't even. When was that? They were on their way to the London series.
I think so.
Okay. He was just getting ready for the series. He was.
It was either to or from. Yeah, it might have been to or from London.
It might have been after when we won.
More funny if it was after because we were all celebrating and he's just doing absolutely nothing alone. Like that goes into the conversation a little bit about like does he even care about anything like money? Like he's a free agent this year. Like. I know we just talked to Hubs.
I still think he cares about money.
We just talked to Hubs, and he was saying how he thinks that if you like DJ just wants enough to get food on the table, and then
he's got that already.
I know. Yeah. I'm just saying he's just get like because I was talking about I was doing the out of the park simulation, and they opened it up with like my tasks as GM. I have to re-sign DJ. I have to do whatever. Get a top 8 farm league, whatever. He was asking for like $35 million a year for like 7 years. And I was actually caught off guard. I was like, is this what's going to happen next year? So
that's a good question though. He's 31 now.
Yeah.
So he'll be 32 next season when he's due for a new contract. Like what would you as a general manager, as a smart general manager, give him?
So I ended up re-signing him in the simulation. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it. It's like a pretty...
Yeah, I've never used it, but I've... Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Hoke is all over right now too. He was doing it. But I ended up signing him. I knocked off a year or two because he wanted 7. So I did like 5 for $27 million. I think that was pretty fair.
I'm not giving him that contract.
he wasn't re-signing it in the simulation at least for that. So I was just doing it for fun, but... So what would you end up
saying? Because here's the thing. If you give $27 million a year to DJ LeMahieu, then you're not going to be – you're going to have to not sign Judge or Sanchez or like I know the Yankees are going to go over the luxury tax and like they're made of money, but Hal has a budget.
Yep. So, he's shown that.
So I'll give LeMahieu 4 years, $80 million, so $20 million a year, but I'm not going over that.
I don't know if he takes that, though.
Well, then let him walk. He'd be 36 at the end of that contract.
I know. I didn't want to sign him to that contract, but I wasn't going.
That's an 80% annual raise, too. Like,
yeah. I don't know. I'm so biased because he legit might be my favorite player on the Yankees just based off of 1 year.
I get it.
And
but
I'm probably giving him like 22, 23 if he asks a year just because I need him. For my sanity and the benefits he provides, like we were saying, like in the infield and Glaber's progression. Cause like, if he goes, then who's playing second?
Right. Yeah, sure. But also if you sign him to $20+ million, then Tanaka's a free agent. James Paxton's a free agent.
Yeah. And we still need to extend Judge. There's a lot we need to do. Yeah. And Glaber's 23 years old. Right. There's definitely reasons why your argument makes much more sense. But
I hate to bring this up, but I love bringing it up. I really wish they did not do that Giancarlo Stanton trade.
Oh, it
changes the entire roster construction if you don't have Giancarlo's $30 million on the books.
Think about the fact that Christian Yelich also got traded like the week after.
They were asking for Glaber, though. They were asking for Glaber.
Did they? For yes. Yelich?
Yeah,
really? They asked for Glaber. Okay, well, that makes me feel better.
I'm not even saying like go get Yelich or
we didn't need to
or Ozuna, right? Because he was traded, mm-hmm. He was in their outfield too. That was a nasty outfield.
Yeah.
And it just went to waste.
And but like if you don't have all that money with Giancarlo right now, you can sign LeMahieu for $25 million and then sign Judge for $30 million and sign like all these guys. But like Hal's not going to spend $370 million a year. He's just not going
to
do it.
Especially after the Gerrit Cole deal that just went down too. So it makes it interesting to see where, I mean, DJ LeMahieu's domino is one that is going to tell the story of the way future free agencies and future re-signings are going to be impacted because obviously Judge is in arbitration right now, but he's only making $8 right now. He's going to get a ton more money. Honestly, he's going to make some of the most money up there with like guys, not like Trout, but
that's all dependent on if he could stay healthy.
That too. And I'm sure I hope they don't go to arbitration, but if they end up doing that, that's going to be talked about. But I think DJ's deal will be an indication of how, like, who they plan on keeping, like, in terms of the Tanakas and the Paxtons. I think they end up keeping Tanaka and letting Paxton walk just because of what Tanaka's done for us and how he's been consistent and all that. But I am interested to see how much they do give DJ, because there are so many contracts that are looming. And like, yeah. Matt, our Red Sox fan friend, he talks about it all the time. He's like, oh, you're going to eventually have to pay these guys. It's like, yeah, you're right. We'll figure that out when it comes. It's starting to creep up. So I don't know. I'm a little
especially because we just lost a year in all likelihood. Like, whatever happens this year, yeah, there might be games, but it's not going to be a season.
Yeah.
So then it's like, okay, so they win like some tournament at the end of the year. Whoopee.
which is interesting too, because if no season happens now, then the decision to re-sign DJ is based on last year. So it's literally what we're looking at right now, and the decision, like what we're talking about right now, there's no extra information, you know? So,
and that's like, it's crucial for a guy like him, and especially when he's 31. Like, we really need that season. Like, this season was huge for him, telling us what we had to do. Same thing for Paxton, because Paxton started out bad and then caught it the second half of the season, got pretty good. And now we really could use another one with him to like see what we actually have with him.
Yeah, I think it works in DJ's favor for leverage in a contract. But like for Paxton, I think it hurts, because now he's not going to be able to prove that he can pitch at least like 4 months healthy.
Yeah.
And now it's just like, oh, you're an injury guy. Like, you're always injured. Like, I'm not signing you.
Yeah.
Whereas LeMahieu can be like, well, you don't have a second baseman, and I just put up
look what I did
for you. So
yeah.
And there's no other guy who would be like our leadoff guy. Like, who else can you see leading off? I mean, he's the prototypical perfect leadoff guy for us. He may not be as fast as a normal leadoff guy, but he gets on base at 327 batting average. Like, he just is so good, and he's always been consistent, gets on base whenever he needs to, he's clutch, all that. I mean, if he walks, like, we need somebody like that to be in the leadoff position. He's just so different from other players on the team too, because he's not a power first guy. You know, he's a good like Jekyll and Hyde sort of thing we have going. That's why I think he's more important to this team.
Yeah, I'm kind of like less concerned with lineup construction over the last few years. Like, I'm kind of a proponent of just get your good hitters up as most times as you can. So yeah, I mean, LeMahieu leadoff is great, but if he's gone, like, they'd probably put Hicks there if Hicks is playing.
That's what I was thinking. That.
Just Hicks, like, an on base guy.
Honestly, like Urshela.
Just someone who can get on base so Judge hopefully hits a 2-run home run.
Yeah literally. That's kind of been the structure of our offense for the past few seasons. See, now I might disagree a little bit though, because I kind of hated that in the playoffs. Because we actually went through a stretch where if LeMahieu, Judge, or Glaber didn't do it, we have to wait till they get back up. Like, that's how games like 3 through
awful. And they kept him batting fourth for like all the way up until like the middle of the ALCS.
Stanton actually had to be wearing rollerblades in the box. Like, he was so bad.
What are you talking about? I didn't see him play. He took himself out.
Right. Yeah, that too. But I don't like him. He pissed me off. And I was so high on him like halfway through last year. And I was like, there's no way you don't start Stanton when he gets back. But now the guy pisses me off so much. He just has no idea.
I still agree with that though. If he's healthy,
you have to. Yeah. But I hate that we have to do that. I hate the obligation.
Yeah.
But back to DJ a little bit, he was in the running for batting title, MVP. What do we think we can expect out of him going forward next year? I mean, whatever happens this year, obviously the home run numbers might be smaller. It won't be comparable, but batting average would be comparable. So, like, do you expect him to get the same or higher batting average?
He would have been the first player in history to win a batting title in both leagues.
Yeah, that sucks.
Tim Anderson pissed me off. He just popped out of nowhere because he just had enough at bats. It goes by at bats, right? Not games.
LeMahieu and Tim Anderson, you
have to qualify. Yeah, they both qualified for it.
It was just Urshela that didn't.
Yeah, because he was on the cusp, and Anderson wasn't on the list until the end because he just qualified. So we weren't even, I wasn't paying attention to him. I saw like Gio and DJ in the race. And I was like, oh, it's a two-headed race, both on the Yankees. We're going to get one at least. And then Tim Anderson just pops out of nowhere. I'm like, what just happened?
Kind of like Rookie of the Year when Otani just took it from Gleyber and Andujar, which was
That's a whole different story.
Still not over that.
Yeah. That's ridiculous.
So you look at LeMahieu's last three seasons, and he had a 136 WRC plus with the Yankees, and then an 87 and a 94 the previous 2 years. So he's below league average offensive player the previous 2 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I love LeMahieu and I think he's great, but if he's a 105 WRC plus next year, are we going to be like, whoa, this came out of nowhere? Like, no.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, then you look back a year prior to that in 2016.
130.
130?
Yeah. That's when he won the batting title.
Yeah.
So every three years, he puts up a 130 something WRC plus. So
yeah.
2022. Yeah. Can't wait.
He's on the Yankees. We were just talking about resigning. But I don't know. I mean, Jack, you just threw me for a loop there. I was thinking that he was just the most consistent player ever, but now...
I know. That's what I thought. That's when we watched him every day, and he was consistent as anyone I've ever seen. But
because
what he's going to do is... I think he will be a better than league average offensive player, a guy who we love to have up with runners in scoring position, and a phenomenal defensive second baseman. And that'll all add up to like a 3-win season, which is great.
Yeah, and he's also like a Swiss Army knife too, because that's another part I love about him, because he was able to play every position last year, which was great. Like if you need anybody else to get a day off, like he can play first base, he can play third, he probably could play short. Did he ever play short?
No.
That's the
only place he doesn't.
I feel like he could, though. You can play every other position. I mean...
No, because short's the hardest in the infield by far.
Would you consider him a better defender than Gleyber?
At what shortstop? He does.
I have no
idea. Not at shortstop, yeah.
At second, I feel like if he's a better defender there, then it may translate.
Definitely not. It's the hardest throw to make in the infield with the most range needed.
I guess so.
I see what you're saying, though. Like,
you know, if he's a better defender, then I feel like it could translate to him being a better shortstop. I mean, I don't know. When I played, I played at a very lower level than where they're at right now.
Yeah. But
I didn't see that being a difference.
You just compare yourself to
LeMahieu
and Gleyber Torres. You literally have slow hands on our intramural softball team. You're not even good at
the best intramural softball player out
there. Your double play turn is so slow.
They got turned, did they not?
Not really. They're 10 feet bases.
It makes it that much harder. People are running, and it's harder to turn double play. So in turn, I have the quickest hands you've ever seen.
Like if it's a 17-inning game and everyone's hurt and LeMahieu needs to play shortstop, like fine. I think he'll be okay. But yeah. He's not – I don't think he can play
not there. A shortstop. Yeah, no. I agree.
I don't know.
But I think that we'll see another productive season.
I feel like positions don't matter anymore. Miggy's in left. Who knows? Mike Ford's pitching. Whatever.
That's just the furthest thing from the truth. Positions don't matter. But I think that we're going to see another consistent season from DJ to kind of wrap up this in a nutshell.
Yeah, and he is the most Joe Random, boring interview guy in the world, and that is the funniest thing in the world. To end this episode, why don't you read a few of those quotes you found from that interview?
Andrew, have you ever seen this? It's like a look into the life of DJ LeMahieu.
Oh, I think I might have, yeah.
It's so funny. They just ask him questions, and he just is talking about how bad he is at this.
Yeah, I think Scott and I talked about this at some point.
Yeah, it was so funny. Like, who's your favorite? In 2013, you said your favorite artist was Katy Perry. Is that still the case? You know what? No, I've moved on from her. Has she been replaced? Yeah, I like T. Swift. Do you have any favorite songs? I don't know. I don't like her new stuff as much. Like, he's just so...
I mean, there's no chance LeMahieu listens to music.
No. I'm telling you, that
goes hand in hand with he doesn't like money. So I don't know. I think we sign him for nothing. I'm just jumping around. But
he's a guy that puts headphones in on a plane just so no one talks to him. But there's no, nothing
yeah. music on.
No music, no podcast, nothing.
I want to get him to listen to this. We got to get him to listen to this because maybe he'll give us one of those boring interviews.
Yeah, if we got him on here, that would be he would be doing shit like that. It'd be so funny. Like, what? So, how do you think last season went? It went well.
Yeah,
it was good. MVP.
Yeah, that's like a one guy. It's like that's an impossible interview because you're obviously going to try and get him to like come out and like say something fun, like funny or like interesting about himself, but he's not going to do it. No. And like, if you talk about baseball, he's just going to give cookie cutter answers. So that's going to be boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He like admits that he's not good at it. So that makes it even worse too. He's like, yeah, I'm just not good at this stuff.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I'm so intrigued by it. I will listen to him talk. Like, Judge will pour his heart on an interview and people could rave about the interview. And I'm still going to LeMahieu's first just to watch him say nothing because I'm fascinated by how good he is at doing the bare minimum.
Yeah. Would you feel that way if he was a 271 hitter?
No, not at all. Probably wouldn't care. I don't think we would make this episode.
I think Pulowitzki would still be starting at second if that's the case.
Right.
Who knows? Imagine what alternate universe, what would a Yankees lineup look like if Pulowitzki ended up being the starting? Well, he wouldn't be on the field because he's injured every other time, every other day.
And we wouldn't have won that many games.
No, I mean, obviously, I'm just saying, what is...
Did Tulo, didn't he get injured in his second game?
Yeah.
Pretty sure. And then retired.
So that's crazy. If he doesn't get injured, then DJ LeMahieu doesn't have a season. He doesn't probably play that much. He's probably just a platoon guy. Just gets little like a random start here and there. And that's just,
no, I think they would have realized very quickly that DJ LeMahieu was much better than left of Troy Tulowitzki.
Let's say Tulo ends up playing and then he plays decent enough to keep LeMahieu down. Who knows? Because the numbers we were looking at before that, LeMahieu batted 276 the year prior. So, and like Andrew was saying, the numbers weren't like extraordinary. So if, I don't know,
you're falling off the wagon, dude.
All right, that's gonna end this episode. We're sounding dumber as we continue, but anyway, any closing comments about our boy DJ?
I love you. That's it.
I'll say that a bet that Scott never discusses, but I won, was that Troy Tulowitzki would have 50 at bats. I took the under. He took the over.
And what did it end up at?
12?
Yeah, 7 maybe. The under smashed.
You got injured the first home.
Andrew, how about this? How about we make a bet? Right, I'll even let you make the terms. Let's make a DJ LeMahieu bet.
Well, okay, but like, there's like so many wild cards here because.
Oh yeah, because we're playing half a season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
It might not even be a season. It might be like a tournament. It might be the friggin' Grapefruit League.
Yeah. I guess, yeah, a ton of contingencies here.
So table that. Table. Table.
Yeah. Maybe we'll come back.
I don't know how we would make a bet.
No, we'll come back maybe to the next 162-game season.
Maybe something with like a pro rata calculation that scooches it down to whatever we end up getting.
Yeah, once we figure that out.
All right, anyway, tune in next time to find out what other player we talk nonsense about. So catch you guys later. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, I believe you're like an overplayed melody. But I can't wait to hear you again. Oh, I believe you're like my own worst enemy. Still, I can't wait to see you again. Oh, I believe you're like an overplayed melody. But I can't wait to hear you again. Oh, I believe you're like my own worst enemy. Still, I can't wait to see you again. Your tears are